This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Former Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar will be in Idaho next week as part of the annual Sherman J. Bellwood Lecture at the University of Idaho College of Law. Salazar served as the 50th United States Secretary of the Interior from 2009 to 2013, and when he led the nation's efforts to develop and implement the framework for America's energy independence. His lecture next week will focus on climate change as well as the future of energy. Secretary Salazar is joining us live by phone. Welcome to the program, Secretary. Seems like we might have a little...
Good afternoon, Jenna. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, we had a little delay there. I'm so glad you're joining us.
It's good to be joining you. How's everything in Idaho?
You know, it's good. You're from Colorado originally, so you know how one day it's 75 degrees and the next day it's 40, so that's what we're dealing with.
We had one last week here where it was 83 degrees one day, next day it fell down to 9 degrees.
Oh, yeah. See? So you're used to this. You know, let's speaking of the weather, let's talk about climate change, shall we? Because your lecture next week will be focusing on that. But tell me about the efforts that you made during your time as secretary in regards to matters that related to climate change.
So during my time as Secretary of Interior and then serving as a United States Senator for Colorado, energy was always a big part of my world. And so as secretary, I created for the nation the all of the above energy framework, including oil and gas and renewable energy. We did a lot in terms of permitting and facilitating the development of a very diverse energy portfolio for the United States, and did so because of national security, economic security, and environmental security. And on the environmental side, and as it relates to climate, moving towards a cleaner burning set of fuels to power our economy was part of what was driving our agenda. But at the same time, understanding that our climate has changed significantly and trying to develop solutions to address the changes in the climate. I remember very starkly going to the crown of the continent and flying over Glacier National Park, and the scientists who were with me on the plane were pointing out that the Glacier National Park would be gone by 2020. And that, in fact, is happening as we see the warming of the climate. So it's happening, whether it's in the Arctic or whether it's in our river basins across the country. And it's important that it be seen as an important issue and something that we need to try to bring the country together to take some action with respect to climate changes.
You know, during the Obama administration, our country entered into the Paris Climate Agreement, as you're aware. But in 2017, the Trump administration announced that we will be withdrawing from that agreement. Now, the process, though, of withdrawing can't be finished until 2020. But what kind of signal does that send to the rest of the world?
The reality is that we ought to continue with the Paris Climate Accords. That was the largest gathering of human leaders in the history of the planet. We had more participation in the negotiations for the Paris Climate Accords. And to walk away from it means that there is no global framework to address what is very much a global issue. So companies, including major companies like ExxonMobil and others, are great advocates of continuing with the Paris Climate Accords. And it did not really have, and there was still a lot of negotiation to be had in terms of how exactly it was going to be implemented. But at least it was a framework where the global community was coming together to address what is a global issue. And in my view, it's a mistake to have walked back from that.
And we know, at least as of August, there had been 84 environmental rules the Trump administration had worked to repeal, including rescinding environmental rules governing emissions of methane. So, again, what kind of messages maybe that what are we sending here in the United States in particular when we see 84 environmental rules trying to be rescinded?
You know, I think the message is one which is not a good one. I think that the United States has always led in the world of conservation and how we take care of our planet. and it's important for us to continue to lead. We know methane actually is more harmful in terms of greenhouse gases and CO2, and companies that are responsible in terms of dealing with methane have measures that basically control the release of methane into the atmosphere. We need to continue to address those issues in a real way. And hopefully, as time goes on, we'll get ourselves back to a better balance. I reflect back that it was Teddy Roosevelt, the Republican, who created our national forests, our national parks, our wildlife refuges, and gave us the great public legacy that we all enjoy today. And that was the United States leading. When I think about our national parks, including those in Montana and Idaho up in the north, I recall meeting with Ken Burns and Dayton Duncan when they were doing their documentary on the national parks. And they titled their documentary, National Parks, America's Best Idea. And I would often ask them, why is it that you titled the documentary America's Best Idea? And they said it's because it is uniquely American and radically democratic, because everybody can visit Glacier National Park or Yosemite or Acadia or the Everglades. If you were living in England or in Europe, those public assets, which we have here in the country, would be in private ownership. So only the noble men and the very rich could access to them. And we have created these national parks for the common good of our country and our people, and we are the envy of the world. So I think when it comes down to climate and conservation, it's really important for us to recognize that we are looked on by the rest of the world to lead. And so I hope we can do that in areas on methane regulation, as well as other greenhouse gases, as well as conservation, and then the nexus between conservation and climate.
There's been significant change at the Interior Department within the Trump administration. But do you think they've done some things right? And if so, what have they done right?
So I would point to a couple of things, and I do think that it's important for us always to be open-minded to new ideas and not to be partisan about how we approach these issues. One of the ideas that Secretary Zinke was pushing was to look at how we manage the landscapes. Most of our landscapes are managed because of political boundaries, so rivers that flow between states are not managed as an ecosystem or a river around that particular stream. And so one of the things that he was doing was trying to divide up the Department of Interior in a way where the management responsibilities would be defined by ecological boundaries. I think that was a good idea. I think some of the efforts in terms of trying to find additional funding to deal with the backlog at national parks, that those kinds of ideas are very good. The backlog has been there for a very long time through multiple administrations. And we need to figure out a way of addressing that backlog. We have over 400 national park units in the country, and it's important to invest in them. So I don't say that everything they have done is wrong. And in fact, I think a lot of what they are actually doing on the ground is good. There are 73,000 employees in the Department of Interior. They're a wonderful group of people. We have the best wildlife agencies in the world in the department. We have the best geological survey anywhere in the world. We have the best park system in the world, and on and on. And so I think that a lot of good is still continuing, and I would strike a different balance than what they're doing today. But I think over the course of time, we'll get back to the right balance.
We're talking with former Secretary of the Interior, Ken Salazar. He was in that position from 2009 to 2013. He'll be here in Idaho next week, speaking at this year's Sherman J. Bellwood Lecture at the University of Idaho. And Secretary, when you're in Idaho, your plan is to discuss climate change, but also the future of energy. Why is this such an important conversation to be having specifically here in the Intermountain West? I mean, you are from Colorado, as we mentioned in the beginning. I mean, we're kind of neighbors here in Idaho and Colorado in the Intermountain West. Why is this such an important conversation to be having, in particular in this region?
We are ground zero for energy for the country. So we produce fossil fuels, but we also produce a lot of renewable energy, whether it's energy from our rivers and our dams, solar or wind energy. We produce a lot of energy. We also are ground zero in terms of some of the impacts on climate change. So if you look at what's happening with the pine beetle across most of our national forests, that's in part because of what's happening with the warming of the climate. And so the Rocky Mountain West, I think, is a place where we need to understand the science in terms of climate, the nexus between climate and energy, and then to develop the appropriate regime to be able to manage the changes that we see happening on a daily basis on our climate.
And, you know, we've been talking about some really big picture, you know, ideas and implementations within this conversation. In your opinion, I mean, what can the average person start doing in order to make these small changes, right? Because it really does take everyone in order for us to see a major change.
So I think the citizens of Idaho and those in the law school, I look very much forward to visiting with the students and the faculty at the law school, as well as more generally with the Bar Association in Idaho. I think learning about these issues, an informed citizenry is the best thing that we have to solve the challenges that we face. And we've had huge challenges in our history. We had great challenges during the Depression and World War II, and somehow the human spirit and the intelligence of our people here in this country were able to find solutions to problems that seemed very difficult to solve. And we're in one of those circumstances today. In a broad political sense, there's a lot of dysfunction in the country. But with respect to the issues of energy and climate, there's a lot that we ought to be able to agree on. And the only way that you can find those places of agreement is if the voters and the citizens of our country are informed.
I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk with us about this. We've been talking with former Secretary of the Interior, Ken Salazar. His upcoming trip to Idaho will be next week. He will be speaking at this year's Sherman J. Bellwood Lecture at the University of Idaho. His first lecture will be in Boise, open to the public at JUMP on Tuesday, October 22nd at 5 p.m. And then they are jetting you up to Moscow, where you will be speaking the next day on the 23rd at the University of Idaho on campus there in Moscow at 3:30 in the afternoon. Secretary, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Jenny. I look forward to seeing all of you in Idaho.
Up next, we introduce you to the top maternal air transport team in the country. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.